Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
A milk carton mystery. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
In the early 1980s, a unique initiative captured the attention of the American public and brought a spotlight to a tragic issue, the disappearance of children. This initiative involved printing the faces of missing children on milk cartons, a move that turned an everyday grocery item into a tool for social awareness and search efforts. However, despite millions of milk cartons, very few success stories were the result. I remember growing up, pictures of children on milk cartons. It's a very 1980s thing. And it was one of those things that had found its way into television. Mm-hmm. I think an episode of Small Wonder and maybe an episode of Different Strokes. It almost became a culturally iconic thing. And I always wondered, I was like, how successful was it?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, not very.
Not very, yeah. It being very low, the percentage. But I do think it is part of that time and place in history where it was like stranger danger, panic. And I think it, culturally, I think it made people a lot more aware. So I get that's kind of an amorphous positive of it, because certainly, yeah, like you said, like it's a very small percentage of kids actually being found. But again, it did kind of raise awareness in a way.
The idea of featuring missing children on milk cartons began in the Midwest. It was inspired by a high-profile case of Eitan Patz, a six-year-old who vanished on his way to school in New York City in 1979. That's a pretty famous missing child case. His disappearance shocked the nation and marked a significant turning point in how child abductions were perceived and handled. We have people who talk about the 70s and 80s, and they're like, we all came home when the street light was on. Mm-hmm. Like, we're, you know, latchkey kids. We survived. But a lot of people
didn't.
There was a lot of child abductions. So people talk about this stuff. It's like, we were tougher back then. I was like, but you were not abducted.
No. Yeah.
It's just a very Gen X boomery thing to say. The first missing child to appear in a milk carton was Johnny Gotch, a 12-year-old paperboy who disappeared in West Des Moines, Iowa in 1982. His face appeared on milk cartons distributed by the Anderson Erickson Dairy, sparking nationwide interest. A good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shortly after, Eugene Martin, another Iowa paperboy, also went missing and was featured on milk cartons. These early cases set the stage for a broader campaign. In 1984, the National Child Safety Council launched a national campaign to place the photographs of missing children on milk cartons. This effort was bolstered by the support of the dairy industry, which recognized the potential of this grassroots movement. Milk cartons were ubiquitous in the American home, ensuring the faces of missing children would be seen by millions of people every single day. If you're wondering, is an altruistic move by the dairy industry? No.
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 No, no, no. The dairy industry and government have always been in each other's purviews.
But I'm sure at least if it potentially raise awareness.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they thought maybe it would actively help.
Yeah, at least this might help somebody.
One of the most iconic cases during this period was that of Jacob Wetterling. Very high profile when you're discussing missing children, especially in the late 1970s and 1980s. An 11-year-old boy from St. Joseph, Minnesota, who was abducted in 1989, his image was featured on milk cartons across the country, bringing widespread attention for his case. Now, there is one very interesting case, one success of this, which is atypical of a child abduction, and we're going to discuss that right after this break. Hi, hello, how are you? How are you doing?
How's it going out there?
We're checking in.
This is the check-in.
A little quickie check-in. How are
just
you?
A little one for
is
you.
A little quickie. You want a quickie?
A little snack.
Yeah.
A little afternoon delight whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah. Hmm? That's going to be the worst way to have the middle of your day.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But also in the morning's not a great way to start it, and it's not a great way to end it. So when?
Well,
maybe on your horrible commute. Horrible commute. That's what
Okay. Horrible commute.
Yeah, cool. That's when you should be doing this.
Excellent.
We want to say hello to anyone who's listening, supporting us, spreading the good word of Ghost Town. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Especially our government.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The mayors are actually proprietors of some beverage dynasties of days gone by.
Ooh, you don't say. Yeah. They're proprietors of beverage dynasties of days gone by. Okay, so they work, they're heads of defunct beverage places.
And they still name drop them
as
in conversation. Yeah, they're just like, do you know who I used to be? It's a lot of that.
Orbitz man.
Yeah. This mayor said, hey, you like Pepsi? You like the morning? How about a Pepsi AM, which
Ooh,
we have done an episode on.
We have done
on.
An episode on that, absolutely.
Yes. If you want soda that you are allowed to legally drink in the morning.
Legally?
Yes.
They won't arrest you if you drink this soda in the morning.
Yes, you will not be breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to go to Catchozelle.
Hello.
This mayor was like, you want caffeine? You want your head to explode? How about you tear into a Jolt?
Oh,
Jolt Cola.
Classic.
It's like, oh, yeah, I need to have a Jolt. Tasted horrible.
Oh, my God. I feel like it was like a tinny sweet tart.
It was hard, but it was cool packaging.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, you want your heart to stop?
It's a real Jolt, medically speaking.
Medically speaking. Mm-hmm. Well, don't be lame. Come on. You pretty much got bullied into drinking it.
Yeah.
That was our mayor's tactic. And that mayor, Ashley Mattson.
Hello.
This mayor was like, it's the 1970s. You want to stay slim? You want to be a bleach blonde? You're someone on the go? Crack open a tab.
Ooh.
Drink nine of them and lose your freaking mind.
Exactly. Although tabs still exist, don't
they? Yeah, but not in this way.
Not in this way.
Like feathered hair way.
This is a feathered hair, different vibe. It's not about the product.
No, this is the 70s mm-hmm. vibe. It's totally
diety.
Different. It's so diety. And you can definitely drink in the morning on the way to your commute to be when you're a secretary.
Because it's a cola,
it's
right?
A cola.
I don't think I've ever had a tab, but it's it's like a watered, watery cola.
It was horrible. Well, you can thank Kelly Meehan.
Hello.
This mayor was like, huh, you want something fruity? It's the 90s, baby. Get something funky. How about a Fruitopia?
Ooh.
Remember Fruitopia?
Are you kidding me? Of course. I mean, I remember the commercials so well. I think Sail Away. I think Enya was involved in the Fruitopia commercial, maybe.
It was such
it was
a
like
vibe.
Kaleidoscopic.
It's like the 90s is a throwback to the 70s, man.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like psychedelic. Drink some psychedelia.
Drink this battery acid juice.
Well, that would be our mayor, Casey Weber.
Hello.
This mayor thought, I got the problem solved in the 80s.
Mm.
Iconic, famous, infamous. He was like, Coca-Cola? It's been around since the 1800s. People love it. I got an idea. How about scrap it and just do a brand new version of it that nobody asked for?
Nobody wanted.
They like Coke and they're like, how do I slap the word new in front of it?
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, We are losing our minds.
Why would you do this? We are addicted to this product that you sell us.
He's like, but we want to make new money with new Coke.
And they're like, you don't want my old money with the old Coke?
Who stood by it? Still stands by it? Our mayor, Matthew Clemenz Leray. You like Pepsi?
Ooh.
But what if it's crystal clear?
Yeah.
Ooh. You really liked it the way it was, but what if it looked different?
What if it looks like a lemon-lime soda,
but it doesn't taste
like that. It's weird.
And nobody asked for it.
No, everyone's worried about their teeth.
I guess, yeah, this is healthier.
You were like, your teeth will be okay now.
Yes.
And we're all like, no, they won't be.
Yeah, it's still
sugar.
Battery acid, Well, that's Crystal Pepsi. Courtesy of our mayor, Marissa Rothermill.
Hello.
And our governor. She was like, water, it's free, but what if it costs money? What if we took something that was free and put it in a bottle?
To waste the environment away.
Yeah. And then also have Coca-Cola attached to it and just have filtered toilet water, but in a cool bottle. Ooh, why don't we make that happen? Ooh, big Dasani, big Coca-Cola.
Still exists.
People still buying it.
Airports all over the globe.
who is making that happen day in and day out and does not care, won't drink it herself, knows better.
She never would.
Never,
but
ever
she'll
would.
Sell it to you, shills.
You little nothings. Look at you little nothings down there. You're crawling around like rats.
Disgusting.
That is our governor, Avian Noble. If you want no ads, no chit-chat, bonus episodes, 7 days free, just the good stuff, head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Now let's go back to a positive of this milk carton. And the case of Bonnie Lohman, who was the little girl who saw her own face on a milk carton.
Wow.
She essentially, along with the milk carton initiative, solved her own case. Bonnie Lohman was abducted from her father at age 3 by her mother and stepfather. So it was an atypical kidnapping, which adds its own level of difficulty as far as, is it really kidnapping? Are the channels of trying to recover your missing child not important in when it comes to the hierarchy of what's important? It's like, well, your wife took her. Eh, you guys probably had a squabble. This isn't important to us. However, her father managed to get her photo on the milk carton. So she was living in Spain as well as Hawaii with her mother and her stepfather. Makes it seem like they were moving around a lot.
Yeah. Those are two pretty disparate places.
So when she was growing up, she was not allowed to roam around. They knew she was kidnapped.
Yeah.
They weren't like, hey, we did the right thing. Go do what you want.
Yeah.
But as she grew older, she got more freedom as they figured like, oh, time has passed. Now she's 7. So 4 years have passed and they're just kind of like, you know what? We're good.
Yeah. We're safe.
Dad doesn't care maybe. Or
we got people off our backs.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she was at the grocery store with her stepdad and she stumbled upon a milk carton with her face on it. Her stepfather bought the milk carton and let her cut out the photo of her on it just to be like, oh, I'm on a milk carton. She doesn't know what's happening. Like, she doesn't know what she doesn't know.
But she's 7. I mean, like,
I think there's a thing of that. But also, I'm sure she's been lied to her entire life. She's been gaslit and lied to and doesn't understand the nuance of like, oh, this is part of the milk carton initiative of missing children.
But is but even still, like I would love to know what the explanation was.
So they cut it out and they're like, oh, yeah, they just, you know, could have said anything. Hey, we used your, they think you're so cool. Want they
an
wanted
award,
to use
a merit thing,
carton.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
So they allowed her to cut out and keep it. And, you know, it was under the you know, the rule that it's hidden. It's just for you. Don't go showing it around. She had a box of toys, and she left it in there by accident and left it over a friend's house.
Uh-oh.
Parents found it, looked at it, and it says, this is a missing child.
And it's very – even if it's cut out of a milk carton, you know, it's instantly – you can see the cardstock, you know, the printing. We can all see it in our head right now.
And then she was reunited with her father. So
that's
that was
amazing.
One really good case.
That's wonderful.
The milk carton campaign had a significant impact on public awareness of missing children. It brought national attention to individual cases and fostered a sense of community involving the search for missing kids. The faces on the carton served as a daily reminder of the ongoing crisis of child abductions and the need for vigilance. However, the campaign faced challenges. The effectiveness was difficult to measure. It really shouldn't be difficult to measure. It's just like how many faces do we put out there and how many children were found.
Yeah.
It was hard to determine how many children were found as a direct result of the milk carton images. I don't know why that's if there's a database even in the 80s of that. And
yeah. Or like was a case close to being solved and actively investigated and they also just so happened to be on the milk carton.
Also, I think there's a case of people that are runaways too.
Yeah, that's fair because they were up to teenagers, if I recall.
Yeah, there's probably nuance with that. There were concerns with the potential psychological impact of families and communities constantly confronted with images of missing children. Seeing your own missing children on there, seeing other missing children, you're thinking, you know, there's just, essentially it's a downer, I guess. It's a downer for the lack of result that it's bringing. The biggest benefit seems to be the tax breaks the dairy companies would get.
Interesting.
Not to say they wouldn't deserve them.
No, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Empirically good.
But the tax breaks do not hinge on the effectiveness of it.
Yeah.
If they could have their way, they'd be like, yeah, it could be a 100-year campaign as long as we're still getting tax breaks. In the early 1990s, the campaign began to decline. Advances in technology, changes in media, the advent of the internet, and the creation of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children provided new avenues for getting information about missing children, use of websites, the Amber Alert. is the next phase in that, which came out in 1996.
And we still use today. And it is much more effective. I don't know what the statistic is, but I know that it obviously it's a higher progression for this because we're still using it. And it's something that we have much more access to because of our phones.
Also, something that's somewhat similar would be a television show like Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
Which in the more recent Netflix ones, mm-hmm. not so much, it seems.
No, but the old ones
seem to really, and we talk yeah. about a lot of cases where people are eventually, they're shown on that and they're like, wait, I know that person.
Absolutely. And again, working in true crime, I can't tell you how many stories I find where really like one of the last acts is some random person watching TV, seeing on America's Most Wanted, Unsolved Mysteries, yeah. and being like, I know that person, I'm going to call that hotline.
But even now, like, a show like Unsolved Mysteries, I don't think as many people are consuming television mm-hmm. in the way, even like Unsolved Mysteries now is yeah. on Netflix. And that is, you know, a great way to do it, but it isn't that like syndicated thing where yeah. like, I'm sure there's certain demographics that watch it, but in generally that's changing too. So mm-hmm. that might become less effective depending on how you're consuming something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then also milk and cartons was changing. It turned to milk and jugs. If exactly. you look now, you don't really – I mean, you do see some, but it seems that changed. So mm-hmm. how it was ending up on the kitchen tables had also changed. Mm-hmm. While the milk carton campaign may no longer be in use, its legacy endures.
Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites, made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs, Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and high fiber options so your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan au chocolat. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.